Look, friend, look, radio listener, I'm putting a challenge to you. If you're struggling with a habit, an addiction, a sin, and you've tried rules and fastings and meeting after meeting and self-denial and thought controls and boundaries and accountability and a monastic-style life, well, how about trying faith? How about trying faith in that you're reckoned dead and alive to God? Now, I'll explain it, indeed I have done in the last couple of days ago, but in the specific context of you battling with something and needing to do something about it. Okay, this is Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me. This is a faith training broadcast. That's why I said what I said at the introduction there. It's not simply here to inspire you. How It Happens is a broadcast about how the gospel happens, that is what God did in all order to create the good news by taking his son and giving his son to the world, just as Abraham gave Isaac in a certain manner of typological speaking, but also training our faith, you see, in all of this. Again, please don't come to this radio broadcast to be inspired. Please don't come to this radio broadcast to be taught, though you will be both inspired and taught. But come to this radio broadcast to be trained. I train my faith in the words that I'm sharing with you in Romans, so please also do the same. Now look, we're in Romans chapter 6. Paul is talking about life in the kingdom of grace. We've already looked at Romans 5. Paul describes life in the kingdom of grace as reconciled to the heart of the Father, in other words, freed from wrath, righteous, resurrected in Christ, in other words, freed from the power of sin, righteous in Christ, in other words, freed from the condemnation of the law, and now in the Spirit looking to kingdom, the kingdom no longer looking to death, but life, that is freedom from the power of death, chapter 8, 5, 6, 7, and 8, you see. And Romans 6 talks about being freed from sin. We died to sin and we are freed from sin. Because most people misunderstand what Paul says, they don't say to themselves they're freed from sin. But he's not talking about freedom from never sinning again. He's talking about sin, which is eternal death. We are no longer under the power of sin, therefore, because the power of sin is not the stimulus of the temptation. The power, in other words, of the temptation is, so reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I said yesterday to you, I let you know that the word reckoned means to impute to yourself, to consider as, to count yourself as dead to sin. Now, you know, of course, that your humanity is still stimulated by temptation to sin. It still feels temptation to sin, and it sometimes fails in sin. But consider yourself as already punished in Christ and already executed, already condemned by the law and already executed by the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus took it for you. Now, we are therefore to consider the sin issue as over. That is, the judgment against it. But notice the verse says something else. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, or dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, to be alive to God means no longer to be subject to the issue of sin. That is, that you're now guilty, that you're now going to be condemned by the law, and that you're going to be judged by death. That issue is over because you're alive to God. You say, I don't see the connection there, Colin. Well, it's right clearly stated in verses 9 and 10. Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him, death no longer reigns, you see, over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. The issue of sin is over. He took it for the whole human race. It's over for those who trust in him. But the life he lives to God. no longer subject to the condemnation of sin, no longer subject to the judgment of sin. He is alive to God. And therefore, Paul says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves indeed to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, I'm saying to you, if you're struggling with an addiction or obsessive thoughts, some kind of problem in your life, how about, now just hear me carefully, don't jump to conclusions. How about dismissing the rules and the fasting and the meetings and the self-denial and the thought controls, you know, this I mustn't think this kind of thing, or boundaries or accountability, or the monastic style life where even Protestants try to avoid the real world in order not to be tempted? How about going into the mind? Oh, yes, such a common idea, going into the mind by faith, but very, very uncommon in practice, I might say. And saying to yourself, at the occasion of each temptation or each distress or each failure, Father, I thank you that I am no longer subject to the issue of sin. I'm no longer going to operate my life based upon stopping doing this because if I do it, I'll feel guilty, and stopping doing this because if I do it, I will be condemned. I am going to look at life based upon what is wise, based upon what is expedient. Paul says, now all things are lawful, but not all things are wise or expedient. And I am going to look at this issue and all of my life issues as being alive, reckoning myself alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Alive doesn't just mean spiritually alive, not in the context here. Alive to God means no longer being subject to the issue of guilt and shame and fear from sin and judgment of death from sin. I know that scares the pants off you. I know that most people who have dealt with addictions by all these things that I just described, you know, the rules and the fastings and the meetings and all the rest of it and the boundaries and accountability, they will be operating from guilt. They truly believe that a good ounce or two or whole dollop or two of guilt will stop them from sinning. They actually pile it on. I'm not condemning you, my friend. I'm simply saying what we do. I have done it. I did it for years, and I still have to resist doing it. But I genuinely thought years ago that guilt would stop me from homosexual thoughts and homosexual behavior and desire. It didn't. In fact, the guilt was so overwhelming and the guilt was so utterly devastating that I went into more of the thoughts and the behavior because of the pain of the guilt. In other words, I went into the thoughts and the behavior to escape the pain of the guilt. I repeat to you that, as we will see in chapter 7 of Romans, that the law stimulates sin. It was not given to prevent sin. I know that may shock many of you. The law was not given by God at Sinai to prevent sin, but to stimulate it in order to make necessary the sacrifices which the Israelites offered every day. Those sacrifices forgave sin. The law didn't. The law only made sin more stark and real and actually stimulated it, so that the sacrificial system may become more relevant. And that sacrificial system, as you know, prefigured and typified Jesus to come. And so, you see, don't be afraid, my friend. You may think that guilt will stop you, and the very suggestion that I make here that you are freed from sin and therefore not subject to the powers of guilt or the dynamics of guilt and shame and fear, the fear of death, sin and death, you see, may seem harrowing to you, may seem scandalous to you, because you will say, well, what will stop me from sinning then? You know, ultimately, my friend, it will be the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, in which you are now beginning to have faith. You have to experiment with this, you see. If you are not sure that I'm right on target with all of this, if you think I am lifting things out of context, or if you think that I'm totally screwed in my interpretation of Romans, how about giving it a try with your favorite drug of choice or your favorite escapism? I remind you that Paul says in chapter 12 of Romans that we have the privilege of trying out or proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The amazing thing is that our God does not lay down a new series of 1,000 or 10,000 rules for us when he comes to the gospel. Rather, he says, trust me, exercise faith in me, believe in what I have done on the cross, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed, he says, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that is, the faith mind that I've been explaining for these many, many weeks now, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, the perfect will of God. How about it then? I mean, there are people out there who are so afraid of experimental faith that they'd rather stick with the law that allows no diversion so that they do not make a mistake. Ah, my dear friend, let us try it. Let us go with the faith that says, I'm reckoning myself as a new person in the new identity that I have in Christ, which is that I am dead now to the judgment of sin, the law, and the punishment of sin, death, and I'm alive to God without this law and judgment. And let's see what I do with that. Well, my friends, that's throwing out a faith challenge to you, isn't it? And you know what I would like to ask you to do? If you have been doing this and training your faith in the way that I've been describing from the book of Romans, not my ideas, but Paul's ideas, or if you are about to do it, I wish you would write to me. I wish you would write to me and tell me how it is working for you. Tell me how trusting in Jesus and his whole accounted life, charged, reckoned, imputed to your account, how that works for you, how it is operating. I would rather not have general letters that just give me kudos and tell me how nice the program is. I'd rather have details. If you could tell me, please, how your faith life is being applied in specifics to your particular problem, that would be enormously revealing. I wouldn't reveal your name, but it would be so good to share those a letter or two on the air or to put it on the website, faithquestradio.com, without identifying you. So, I welcome you to do that. Simply write to me at FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160, Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. That would be great, my friend. So remember, we're not here to inspire or to teach, though that is a side effect. But we are here to train faith. This is spiritual counseling where the rubber of faith meets the road of hard experience. I'll see you next time, my friend. Cheerio and God bless.